This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. There's a lot of reasons to worry about the American economy, and most Americans are worried about their personal finances. To get a grip on Barack Obama and John McCain's plans for taxes and the economy, we're going to talk with the top economic advisor from each campaign and the director for the Tax Policy Center, which provides independent analysis of tax issues. Let's start with John McCain's senior advisor for economic policy, Douglas Holtz Aiken. He directed the Congressional Budget Office from 2003 to 2005 under President Bush. That's the office that prices proposed legislation and analyzes its economic impact. Holtz Aiken resigned a year before his four-year term was up and went to the Council on Foreign Relations. Douglas Holtz Aiken, welcome back to Fresh Air. Now, correct me if I mischaracterize this, but as the Congressional Budget Office director, you took issue with President Bush cutting taxes while raising spending, and you said no way the math was going to work out on that. John McCain wants to keep the president's tax cuts and extend them. Why?
Because he understands that at this point in time, the most important way to evaluate any policy is through the lens of creating jobs. Even though we've lost 400,000 jobs, over 400,000 in the past 6 months in the United States, we've seen over that period small businesses, those under 50 employees, actually create nearly 250,000 jobs. So step number one is do no harm to the small business sector, much of which is taxed through the individual income tax. So don't raise taxes, don't raise the marginal tax rates on those individuals, don't raise dividend and capital gains taxes when they're going to need equity investments in a world where debt is going to be hard to get a handle on because of the credit crunch. And we've got the second highest corporate rate in the developed world. The combination of that rate and some other features are driving good jobs, the kinds that have health insurance and retirement benefits overseas. He wants to keep those jobs in America. So the proposals are oriented around the very first step to being successful over the long term, which is have an economy that's growing, creating jobs. Those jobs will be the foundation of all the prosperity that Americans hope for. They're also the foundation for a better fiscal outlook.
Let me read a criticism of the McCain tax plan from the Tax Policy Center, which is a program at the Brookings Institution. The McCain tax plan would make the tax system more regressive, even compared with a system in which the 2001 to 2006 tax cuts are made permanent, because it would give huge tax cuts to households at the very top of the income distribution, but little tax relief to those at the bottom of the income scale. Your response?
This reveals all that is wrong with budgeting in Washington, D.C., and why this city needs a vast cleanup effort. John McCain's tax proposals are very simple. Under the present system, the top marginal tax rate is 35%. Under John McCain, 35%. Current dividends top rate, 15%. John McCain, 15%. Current capital gains rate, 15%. John McCain's, 15%. No tax cuts there anywhere. John McCain does want to cut the corporate tax rate. Now, in a Tax Policy Center view of the universe, that benefit goes to some fat cat who never had to worry about losing their job. But out in the real world, what's happening is people are not keeping their jobs. Those jobs are being moved to other parts of the globe, and the burden of that tax is being borne by workers. That tax cut will benefit those people by keeping their jobs here, keeping their benefits intact, and helping the economy grow.
Senator McCain thinks that we should not have a timetable for withdrawal in Iraq and that we'll have to remain there. Our troops will have to remain there for an extended time. How do expenses for the war get figured into his proposed budget?
Our proposals are built off the CBO baseline projections and augmented to reflect the current deployments overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan. It is the senator's views that having devised the counterinsurgency strategy, the surge that is working, and that will allow the United States to leave in victory as opposed to a hasty withdrawal that would require a third Iraq war, we can achieve savings by 2013. It would be his hope that we'd have about 75,000, half the number now, stationed overseas, or even do better than that. That'll reduce federal spending in the defense area, and that would be a very beneficial thing from a budgetary point of view.
Former Senator Phil Graham, who was the former chair of the Senate Finance Committee, stepped down last week as co-campaign manager of the McCain campaign after his comments that Americans are experiencing a mental recession and that we're a nation of whiners. Until he resigned, he'd played a major role in crafting McCain's economic policies, and he was being mentioned as a possible Treasury Secretary if McCain wins. Is he still informally advising John McCain? And is he still a possibility for Treasury Secretary?
He is not advising the campaign. He is not affiliated in any way. He properly made the decision to step down after remarks that were unfortunate and completely at odds with the senator's view of what is going on in the economy and how the American public is viewing their situation. So he is not affiliated with the campaign. And obviously, it is premature to discuss appointments of any kind, whether they be Treasury or other possible agency appointments in a McCain administration.
So you're not ruling it out?
I am not ruling it out. I'm not ruling it. Well, I guess I am ruling it out. I don't know what the decisions are that are going to be made on staffing, but it's premature to discuss names.
No, Graham was criticized for his recent comments, but let's talk about the policy that he stood for. In 2000, he co-sponsored a bill called the Commodity Futures Modernization Act that deregulated the banking industry, making it possible for commercial banks, investment banks, and insurance companies to merge. This bill also deregulated some of the complicated financial instruments that are behind the mortgage meltdown and the financial crisis, like credit default swaps. And it enabled losses, certain losses, to be kept off the books through complicated things called structured investment vehicles. The bill also prevented the regulation of energy futures, and that part of the bill became known as the Enron loophole. It's been blamed for the California energy crisis a few years ago and subsequently for the whole Enron collapse. But this whole bill that Graham co-sponsored was added as a rider right before the Christmas recess to a big omnibus spending bill. And a lot of people think that most of the senators who voted on it didn't really understand it or didn't really know what was in it. So since Graham was so highly placed in the McCain campaign, do his views on deregulation reflect John McCain's views?
And well, obviously not. I mean, Senator McCain has, first of all, been a longstanding critic of that style of doing business, large omnibus spending bills that aren't scrutinized, provisions dropped into bills in the dead of the night without proper vetting. His view of the way that Congress should work is defend a proposal on its merits in the House, defend it in the Senate, agree on it in a conference, have it passed by both houses and signed by the President of the United States. And to do things in any other way is to really betray the trust of the American public. He has voted to close the Enron loophole in 2003. The senator's economic views are his own. He has lots of advisors, whether it be Jack Kemp, Steve Forbes, Martin Feldstein, John Taylor. There are an enormous number of people with whom he converses. He's fond of getting direct input from experts and is perfectly content to make up his own mind about the best path forward.
And the deregulation of the banking industry? I mean, right now the government policy seems to be that there are some banks and institutions, including Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that are just too big to fail, that the consequences would be cataclysmic for America and the global economy as well. So some economists say we've kind of done this backwards. For instance, the bill that Phil Graham co-sponsored, we deregulated part of the financial industry because the government was said to have no place there. But then when the big banks are in trouble, that's when the government has to step in and help them out.
We've seen two particular instances in the United States recently. One, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, literally a tribute to Washington and the worst aspects of Washington. This is a lobbyist-driven operation that showered favors across the board to make sure that they could continue to expand at the taxpayers' expense. In the private sector, we saw the Fed make the decision in the Bear Stearns case. They were privy to the details that others are not, but presumably the tenet that guided that decision was, is it worse to leave the situation alone and allow the financial system as a whole to be threatened and the stability of that system thus threaten all of Main Street and American families, or is it better to provide the steps that they did and allow the precedent of shoring up a private institution? The senator is certainly not happy with the idea that the taxpayers are backing private institutions, but it's important to make sure that we don't further hurt the public by not stepping in at the right moment.
John McCain has said that the economy is not his strong point, that he doesn't know that much about the economy. Is that a fatal flaw for a president? Does it matter?
He has a phenomenal grasp of the economy, and the remark he made is self-deprecating. That's John McCain in his truest form. But he is comparing himself to a standard of excellence on international affairs and national security that no one could meet. He's the preeminent expert in those areas. He's been chair of the Commerce Committee. He's a superb policymaker in economics, and the U.S. economy is in good hands with John McCain.
This is not a direct campaign question, but while you're here, I'd like to know your impression of how far away is our economy from hitting bottom? How close are we to hitting bottom so we could start going back up again?
It's hard to say. The basic contours of the economic outlook right now are that if you make something in America, if you produce and sell a product or service, you're hanging in there. It's not great. And outside of the housing sector, you know, we have strong exports. We have some places where things are going okay, but they're hanging in there. If you finance something in America, you're in a world of hurt. The financial sector is clearly a battleground. And the real question is, can the Main Street folks hang in there until the financial sector gets its house in order, or will the credit crunch and the restrictions on lending bleed over into Main Street and further depress the economy? That's one that I don't think the science allows us to answer. It's one that we monitor every day. It's clearly a concern about the outlook. There's nothing that looks like strong growth in the near term, and the question is whether we can go through with something that looks like moderate growth over the second half.
Douglas Holtz-Aiken, thank you very much for talking with us.
Great, thank you.
Douglas Holtz-Aiken is the top economic advisor for John McCain.